This is All Things Considered on 90.1 WABE. I'm Dennis O'Hare. Today, the U.S. Senate voted to head off a filibuster and clear the way for a Friday vote on gun control legislation. But this year, Georgia's legislature came close to passing a bill that would expand the list of places where people with concealed weapons permits can carry their guns. And that bill could still pass next year. But Georgians outside the Capitol may be changing their attitudes on at least some gun control proposals. Pollster Matt Towery is the president and CEO of Insider Advantage, a frequent visitor. Matt, welcome back.
Thank you, Dennis. Nice to be back.
About 6 weeks ago, you did a poll of Georgia voters, which included the idea of background checks for gun purchases. Now, that's something that's going to be central to the legislation the Senate will vote on this week. Did the numbers you got from Georgians on that idea surprise you?
Yes. In fact, almost every result that we've seen since we polled in the wintertime and now going into the spring has shocked me. The numbers with regard to background checks themselves were amazing. 61% of Georgians said they favored background checks. Only about 29% said they were against it. So we are certainly seeing some tracking in Georgia of the national polling numbers, in which we also saw fairly substantial support for background checks being implemented.
Now, I know you may not have exact numbers in front of you, but how big a change is this from any kind of results on this you've seen in the past?
Well, I haven't been tracking gun issues in the last few years because simply they had not risen to the occasion of being legislatively significant. But I can tell you anecdotally, even to the days when I was a legislator many, many moons ago, Republicans, who used to be sort of the centerpiece of all of this legislation, they're still pretty much the leader in terms of gun rights and expansion of rights. But even on an issue such as background checks, only about 50% of them actually favor background checks, only 37% oppose. And then when you get to the all-important independent vote, and that's really the swing vote that determines Republican primaries and also who will win a general election, you had 61% who said they favored background checks, only 34% saying they did not. So when you get to the overall number for the state, you include Democrats, it's 61% favor and only about 29% opposing background checks, which tells us that Georgia, like most states, has been affected by the continuing line of events that have taken place over the last year and a half, in which we see these massacres, if you want to call them, or attacks. And Georgians are being affected by it, and clearly their opinion has moved off-center on this and more in favor of some gun restrictions.
Is that perhaps one reason why both Senator Chambliss and Senator Isaacson in the last few days decided to support an up or down vote in the Senate, even though they might vote no on the bill once they see it?
I would never presume that these senators are driven by their polling numbers that they see, but I would say that in this case, the mainstream Republican leadership, absent Mitch McConnell, who felt he, I think, was in an impossible situation with Rand Paul, his colleague from Kentucky, leading the filibuster, most of the Republicans in the Senate felt that they wanted to move forward and vote on this bill, whether they voted for it or not. They didn't want to appear to be obstructionists. And this polling would tell me that in Georgia, the vast majority of voters would say that they would approve moving forward with the bill and considering it. And in fact, most Georgians would probably approve some aspects of the gun bill that is moving forward. They certainly would favor the background check portion. So I don't think that they're not at any risk taking this position, certainly.
And certainly in Senator Chambliss's case, he's not up for re-election anyway because he is retiring after his term expires. But I don't know if you asked this during the polling, but did people, when they were surveyed, cite Sandy Hook or some other mass shooting as something that influenced them in the way they feel about at least background checks?
No, we really didn't ask that question, but I can tell you just anecdotally from polling in the past that the attention that the shooting in Aurora had earlier this summer, and then you combine that with Sandy Hook and some of the other locations, they certainly have created a set of political circumstances that are certainly helpful to the president in his effort to curtail some aspects of gun use or sales and a combination of background checks. I think the NRA has probably misread this just a little bit. They've made some fairly veiled, if not veiled, threats towards members of the Senate who vote either to move forward without a filibuster or vote in favor of this legislation. And, you know, sometimes you're just on the losing side of things. I certainly have had, when I was in politics, I had the support of the NRA. I have a lot of respect for them, but I can tell you that in this case, I think when a state like Georgia, that is as conservative and as Republican as it is right now, is so tepid in terms of their position, I think the NRA is overplaying their hand.
But I would imagine that if you got into things like assault weapon bans or limits on the number of rounds per clip, those sorts of things, that the numbers might not quite be the same.
The numbers go down when you start talking about specific types of weapons, but I will tell you that they don't go down as precipitously as one might expect. And a lot of this has to do with what the public sees in the mainstream media. And there has been just a plethora of stories since the summer. And it seems that every time a new story would come out, then about a week or two later, we would have some other massacre. I mean, we certainly saw that just in the last few days here in Atlanta and Gwinnett County. So as these continue to take place, the president's timing and members of the leadership on the Democratic side in the Senate, their timing in pushing this issue could not be better. And that's not to suggest that they're trying to take advantage of tragedy, but it simply is serendipitous towards what the president is trying to achieve. And I think Republicans, particularly on the statewide level, where they were trying to push carry of guns on campus and the like, I don't think they realize how much they're placing their party in jeopardy in upcoming elections, because we're seeing the independent vote, which is very heavily going Republican and making the difference in this huge Republican majority vote that they would receive in statewide races, beginning to slip away pretty quickly, not over fiscal issues, but over social issues and issues such as gun control, abortion, et cetera.
You referred to the bill that's still in the legislature. It didn't get a final vote this year, but it's a two-year session. So that bill that allows campus carry, for instance, is still sitting in the legislature. Do you think that the shift that you're seeing in the polls will affect the outcome of that even a year from now?
Well, if the numbers stay the way they are, I would say the Republican leadership would be insane in an election year to bring that back out to the floor. Or let it even move out of committee. It simply is a loser for them. The campus carry issue is not popular with the electorate. It's certainly not popular with independent voters, and it's definitely not popular with females. And we're really getting back into a 1990s type of electorate rather than the 2000s when Georgia went so substantially Republican. And we're seeing female voters begin to leave the Republican Party. They don't necessarily have anywhere to go right now because Democratic nominees tend to be too liberal for them on other issues. But there is a risk occurring. It's a twofold risk. First of all, that Republican primaries will become primaries in which these independent female voters in particular decide to be very active, and they vote against candidates, particularly in suburban areas like Atlanta, and they begin to start voting against those candidates who take very harsh stands, as they view it, pushing things like carry on campus and the like. And that would reduce the number of Republicans in the legislature, which is usually the first step towards the dismantling of a party. We saw that with the loss of Democratic power in the late 1990s and early 2000s. So they need to be very careful, the Republicans, to make sure they don't overstep their boundaries.
That begs the question, though, of whether an issue like gun control, which is definitely a hot-button issue, people feel passionately on both sides, is also a deciding issue. Is it one that, however passionately you feel about it, is it one that's going to make you punch the button of one party or another when you go to the polls? Or do you really vote on other issues?
No, it's sort of how a party is perceived. And the Republicans are having a bad time nationally because they don't seem to agree on very much. You have some Republicans wanting to, you know, go a little more moderate in terms of the budget, others who have a position saying that they simply will not agree to anything that the president puts forward. And then you combine that with these problems that we're seeing on social issues, and then there suddenly begins to become sort of a lack of confidence in a party. And I think that's what the GOP is definitely suffering from nationwide. And I'm seeing it beginning to creep into Georgia. I don't think it will occur in time to hurt Governor Deal. I don't think that it will necessarily mean the Republicans lose the Senate. But I will say that it's, you know, Georgia cannot be taken for granted by Republicans in statewide races in the future. And these legislators, particularly in Metro Atlanta, and I don't mean just Buckhead, I'm talking about all the way out into, you know, Cobb County, Gwinnett, sort of the suburban areas closest to the city, where you tend to have a more moderate Republican and a lot of female vote participation, they're going to have to be very careful. I don't think they want to be taking that slogan from one of the legislators of packing your pistol when you come back next year. That's not, I think, anything I'd be running for re-election on if I were a Republican.
But meanwhile, there is a scramble among Republicans to run for Congress, run for state legislature. It's a domino effect that started when Senator Saxby Chambliss said he would not run for another term. You have, for instance, a Metro Atlanta Republican like Ed Lindsay running against Bob Barr and possibly others for the 11th congressional district seat, Phil Gingrich's seat. Bob Barr, of course, very strong pro-gun rights person. What kind of a position does this put the opposition, like an Ed Lindsay, if he wants to win a primary?
Well, that district tends to be a little more of a non-Buckhead type district. It does have Buckhead in it, but it's going to be a district that will be a little more embracive of the politics of a Bob Barr, or maybe someone else. I have yet to be convinced that Bob Barr politically can be revived. It's very hard to go from leaving the Republican Party to being the independent, or rather the Libertarian nominee for president, and then suddenly become a Republican again. That's going to be more difficult, I think, for Mr. Barr than he thinks. And he also, like many of these candidates, and I'm not saying Bob Barr can't win, I think the number one thing to watch is, can they raise money and how do they waste it? And I'm looking at these candidates who are signing up these Washington, D.C. consultants and other, you know, key elements of their campaign that I know cost a fortune. And I'm looking at those, and when I look at them signing those type candidates or consultants up, I generally figure they're not going to win.
Are the Republicans who are running for Congress and state legislature, though, put in a tough position because they have to perhaps appeal to a base which would really oppose a lot of restrictions on guns and then try to win a general election where the electorate that they're appealing to would be very might feel very differently?
Well, you know, it's interesting because I'm beginning to think that the Republican base may change in terms of its composition. We had a Republican base that was completely devoted to fiscal issues, and that base showed itself very strongly in this last election cycle, for example, against the T-SPLOST, the Metro Atlanta T-SPLOST issue. However, as you rotate into a little bit of a different economic situation, you don't have the president up for re-election again, and the Republicans are still stinging from their defeat with Mitt Romney, you may see a more moderate Republican electorate voting in the primary, which would mean that candidates can't take quite as a strident position as they could have perhaps last year or 2 years ago.
Matt Towery is president and CEO of Insider Advantage. Matt, always a pleasure. Thanks so much. We'll talk
to you
again
soon.
Take
care.